Just a couple of boys from WA. But if you're not, that's okay. It's the Mitchell and Michael Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. It's a good show. We have, like, some humanitarian debates, I guess. No, moral. Like, would you give your organs up?
It's really ethical. Yeah. Because some countries are saying that everyone should. Australia's still like, hey, you can if you want.
Yeah.
And what if you don't want to? Are you a monster?
Yeah, I feel we still don't ask people that either yet. Like,
and then, once your organs are gone, you're dead. What do you do at your funeral? You just lie there. But maybe you could get someone to do something for you when you're gone. The coffin confessor, Bill Edgar, joining us later. First up, your baby is overdue. It's getting, like, overcooked.
Yeah, it's that thing where you cook a pizza in the oven and you're like, the outside looks really like cooked, but the inside is probably still frozen and it's like bread. That's my baby.
Science has failed you. They tried to give you a date. It's obviously wrong. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use an older science that some people still read about in papers every single day. Some radio stations play this every single day to help you predict your life. And we're going to do it for your baby next. Mitchell Tinley in the studio, but he could leave at any moment when his little baby could be born. But 3 days behind, mate.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very bizarre. Due date was 27th of March, 2022. Baby girl will be here, like I assume. She was in there.
Well, if science has failed us, because you said there's only like a 4% chance it'll actually be that due date anyway.
Yeah.
Then why don't we turn to like an older science? Why don't we turn to like the mystic arts?
Ah.
Of astrology.
What?
That's right, star signs.
Oh, no.
Reading the stars. That's how people figured out when babies were born back in the day. And I have the method to figure out when your baby's due date will be. First, the year. This is an actual article that I'm following. This is it's a legit.
So 2022?
This is psychologically astrology.
Yep.
Like, .com. So the year? Oh, you've already got that one. But just in case you don't.
Yeah.
Jupiter and Saturn both are involved in timing of childbirth, or more appropriately, the conception of the child. The transiting Jupiter and or Saturn in both the father's and mother's birth chart will be placed in the fifth house or the ninth house.
I don't know what that means.
Me either. You only have one house, don't you?
I only have one house.
You only just
bought
one.
But she's got a house.
She's got a house.
Yeah, so not my baby, the baby mama.
Doesn't she design houses or something?
Yeah.
So the fifth house she designed.
Oh,
and the ninth house
she designed. Yeah, she's like an architect.
Then the month, that requires the transit of Mars, the ruler of life and death and transformation, also blood. During childbirth, fiery energy of every sort is at work, thus Mars must be involved. Then you want to check. The childborn may not survive childhood unless there are specific benefits. What?
What?
Hang on.
Sorry, what? What?
A baby born about 7.5 months from conception is considered viable as per astrological concepts. Child born before this may not survive childhood. Now, I'm sure you know a little bit more. What do they consider, like, viable? Like, did they tell you, like, oh, the baby can be born at this many weeks?
I think it's like 4 weeks early. Is
four
okay?
weeks early. So that would put you at, like,
eight.
About 7.5 months. So, hang on. Look, we're having a bit of fun. But this article basically says, to figure out the year your child is born, go back 9 months before it's born. Yes. That's how time works. And then, the baby will be viable if born after 7.5 months. Yes, again, that's just how it works. This is nonsense.
That's like saying the cake will be edible if you, like, wait 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now to narrow it down to the day when labor will begin. No, I'm sorry. I can't get on board with this. It's just so
more
nonsense.
More like astrology. Ross, I have always made fun of you for being Mr. 10 and 2 in the car, almost too safe. And I've also made fun of you for never taking blame. But I think I've started to learn. Because if you don't take blame, that's how you know you're becoming a man and you're becoming a dad.
I've been a man since I was a boy.
Exactly. Now, you were born and merely adopted the not taking blame. Now, yesterday, okay, I was in my little apartment complex. Very, very small. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I own it, but it kind of looks like a crack den. Okay? So it's positives and negatives.
Yeah.
And there's someone that lives there that doesn't own it. They're just renting. Okay. And they have a car that is like not, you know, it's probably their first car. They look like a younger person type thing. And I'll be honest, doesn't look insured.
No.
All right. So there was a bit of like moving around because you've got to sort of like Jenga the cars in and out sometimes. You could like ask people to move. It's very weird.
Well, where do you live? Like in a share house?
Kind of. It feels like that. And she moved her car and then I had to kind of hedge forward and I accidentally just like tipped the car just a little.
You hit their car.
Little tap.
You kissed their car with your car.
You know how in footy when they get a little tap on the bum? Like, good job. That's what I did.
You did that with the front of your
car.
Yeah,
I was like, good job. She then gets out of the car. I was like, oh, no. She's going to be like, blah, 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 and stab me with a like a dirty needle or something. But she didn't.
Okay.
But she didn't. She got out and she was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. What have I done? I've hit your nice car because, you know, I'm driving a Chrysler.
That's true.
It looks fancier than what it is.
But again, it cracked down inside.
Exactly. And I had to go, okay, I either go, no, it was actually my fault, make her day better. She's probably had a bad day. And I go, no, don't worry, it was my fault. Or I say, oh, that's okay. Like, you obviously have ruined my day. But I then let her know it's okay.
It's okay.
So I give her, if I hit her, right?
Yeah.
Negative. Her day, negative, right? Something bad has happened. This way, something bad has happened, but me forgiving her restores her faith in humanity. So therefore, positive.
Who was actually at fault?
Me.
That's not how this works.
But she knows, and that's all that matters.
That's just lies. The blame. Okay, I'll tell you, when you play the blame game and you try and take the blame away from yourself, there needs to be a possibility how it wasn't you.
But also, just quickly to finish this off, she won't hear this anyway because her car didn't look like I had a radio in it.
We've talked about birth earlier today already. Baby on the way for Mitch. Let's look at the other side of life. The death. End. Death. It can still be a good time. You can still win in the face of moving on to the afterlife.
Oh my God, speaking of death, might have to let me uncle go because he's letting me down and he's supposed to be the guy that I go to for help. The great Peter Tinley, who we've talked about on the show, the former Minister of Fisheries. I wanted to the future coup leader against Mark McGowan when numbers go down. Vote one, Peter. No, I think that's illegal. I can't say that. Or can I?
We don't know if treason exists anymore.
You make up your own minds. But he's a great guy. Or is he? Because I messaged him because I wanted to find, I believe it was like the Minister of Lands who could talk about Whitnome being flattened. Okay? One of our lovely
Shut
towns.
Shut down forever.
Whitnome.
Our unloveliest town.
Yeah, we can probably say that. Our unloveliest town. I just messaged my uncle on Thursday at 5 p.m, a bit late notice. I just said, hey, can you get us the Minister for Land to have a chat this morning? We want to talk about Whitnome getting flattened. He responded yesterday.
Ooh.
He responded on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Okay? He said, sorry, mate, too short a notice. Okay. Also, it's not.
It was
because
Thursday.
By the time you've responded, you've had plenty of time to get him. Then he goes, also, do you know Steve? He owns a gym and is selling something I want to buy. So that's why he replied.
Yes. He just wanted something from you.
Yep.
Do you know Steve?
Yeah. And I took great joy in telling him that that thing had already been bought.
What'd you get put off? I'm a recovering egg eater, Mitch. I haven't really eaten many eggs. By themselves, I can handle it in things, of course. Like, I think some people are wondering, like, but what about it? Like, if you bake a cake and you chuck an egg in, I can handle that. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as I can't taste it. But I'm recovering for, like, eating, like, an Eggs Benny.
What about eggnog?
Eggnog? I like eggnog. Oh, that's
nice.
All good.
Nice.
But I had too much, played a game of footy, was sick, and put me off eggs for years. We've got Megan from Newman on the line. What have you been put off?
Hey, guys. I got put off. You know those Doritos ice creams?
What? Doritos ice creams?
Yeah, the, like, you know, the cone that's got the chocolate at the bottom.
Oh, yes.
Like a trumpet.
Like a Cornetto ice cream?
Yeah, like those.
Okay.
What's a Dorito ice cream?
Did I say Dorito?
You did. And I think you've made the greatest ice cream of all time, but we'll go into that later.
The one with the waffle cone and the chocolate and the ice cream.
Yeah.
Super rich. Okay. Anyway, I went to my grandparents' house and they fed me like 10 over the course of like 2 days.
What?
And then I went home and I vomited them up all over my mum and dad's couch. And from that day on, I've, yeah, never eaten.
Do they ever offer you, do they offer you ice cream again? Like, do they forget the trauma?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just a fan favourite. It's always in the freezer. And I'm like, definitely not. Oh. Never again.
Oh, that's great.
How long ago was this?
Oh, I was like 8.
Okay.
So, guessing by the sound of your voice, that's like 10 years ago.
All right, let's do 12. Thanks,
Mo. Thanks,
Meg. Michael on Triple M, and joining us on the line now, Mitch, is a man who offers an interesting service as maybe a part of your funeral service. When that day comes, you could rely on Bill Edgar, the coffin confessor, to make an appearance. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good. Now, I thought this was like almost like a joke. Like I would pay someone to be at my funeral and say like something funny so everyone would laugh. But you've turned this into a real career.
Yeah, that's right. But to be honest with you, it did start as a joke. I actually told a dying gentleman that I'd crash his funeral for him, and lo and behold, he took me up on the offer, and I did this that.
Now, crashing the funeral, Can it range from a little bit of fun, like a bit of a disruption, or to like there's some serious secrets about to drop and shock the family?
There's a range. It's good, bad, funny, and sad. So, I mean, there are a range. I've done quite a few different ones now. I mean, there are bombs obviously dropped on the family, but I mean, that's collateral damage for the family as far as I'm concerned. I have no care or concern for them. It's all about the person in the coffin for me.
Now, this is a question I had. It's like, do you work with the funeral director or whatever so that there's a piece where you get to speak, or do you literally just have to jump up and grab the mic?
Yeah, I just jump up. There's no mic. I just jump up, yell out, and excuse myself and say, my name's Bill Edgar. I am the coffin confessor. Sit down, shut up, or bugger off. This is what's going to happen.
That is amazing. Have you had any objections from people?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you get your objections, but the main point is to get the family, friends on your side as quick as you can. So you've got to let them know that, you know, it's their loved one, it's their message, and they've left something left unsaid. So it's got to be read. And if you want to hear what your loved one said, then sit down and listen to it. Otherwise, bugger off.
Have you ever accidentally gone off script a little bit and gone, oh, geez, I exaggerated that one a little bit?
No, I can't do that because I read exactly what's written.
Oh.
I don't... So my client and I, we sit together, we write out exactly what's said, and that's it. I mean, the only time I ever went off script is when the very first funeral, where the best mate was performing the eulogy, and I outed him for trying to have sex with the man's wife while he's on his deathbed. And the only time I went off script there was as the man was walking out. I said, yeah, see you later, mate. You're no best mate. See ya.
How did that go down? Did he just like sit down, or did he say anything back, or what was the vibe of the room?
Oh, mate, he scowled out like a little rat. And you know, his wife followed him, or girlfriend, whoever she was, followed him. But then there were three other people at the funeral that my client said, look, if they attend my funeral, I'd like you to out them, tell them to stand up and bugger off, because I haven't seen them in 30 years. So why are they here paying the respects? They're vultures. Get rid of them.
Oh, that is great.
So you feel that you were just sort of like the vehicle. You were just the vessel for their wishes, and you're going to make sure it gets done.
Oh, yeah. Don't shoot the messenger. That's all I am. But if you do shoot me, kill me.
Now, speaking of you dying, will you get someone to be a coffin confessor for you?
Bloody yes, I will. Not only that, I'm going to get them to put me... you know, fill my coffin up full of bloody fireworks or something like that before it goes into the furnace. I'm going out with a bang.
Bill, thanks so much for chatting with us this morning. Coffin Confessor, head online and find out more. You've even got, like, your memoirs out.
Yeah, there's the book, The Coffin Confessor. It's going nuts at the moment. Just went global, China, Poland, Japan and Thailand. So, yeah, it's doing really well.
Mate, you're a very interesting man, and it's a job that I never thought would be better than radio, but we found it.
Look, guys, thanks for having me, and hi to all your listeners. Thanks again.
Now, Mitch, are you an organ donor?
I would like to be, but I don't think I'm willing to put in the effort. I think you have to go to, like, the DMV or whatever and get it sort of ticked off, don't you?
Yeah, it's a, like it's an extra step here in Australia to be an organ donor.
Why isn't it opt-in, like they opt you in automatically and you have to opt out?
Well, this is exactly what Singapore have done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This week they have made everyone opt-in, so you can come out if you want. Maybe you have religious reasons. So here's my thing.
You're religious?
I'm not. But even then... Like,
you're baptised, are you?
I am. I'm baptised. I'm communised.
So,
I'm
communised. Communist.
I'm confirmed.
You're a communist.
And wed.
Yeah, so if someone wants, like, I don't know, your magical forehead, then...
That's not the thing they take. Now,
you wear like a hat. That's good luck.
Here's the thing. Like, I know that. I think it may be like Jehovah's Witnesses often don't like surgery or don't donate blood, that kind of thing. But it depends on the group.
I do know, yeah, that some are you can't take organs.
But why? Is my question.
Yeah, because there's organs.
What are you gonna do with them?
There's organs in church.
No, <Thanks. laughs> nice. What are you gonna do with them? Like, I think the opt-out system is the best way to go because we are lazy and we don't opt in. But also, I want to meet someone who wants to keep theirs.
Because it's a thing, I think, with God, right? So if God wanted you to have a second chance at an organ, he'd give you, like, 2 kidneys. Oh, he's done that. Or great. 2 testicles. He's done that. So if you lose one
heart.
You still got another one. Exactly. So if that one breaks...
So you think people are going, no, you can't have my organs
yep.
because the big man upstairs doesn't want to give you another chance.
I truly believe
and
that.
And I like that guy. Like, I like that guy who doesn't want you to have a second chance.
Yeah, it's all part of his plan. Maybe your time's up.
1-800-011-666. Do you want to, are you hanging on to any of your organs?
I just imagine me as a surgeon going, oh, bad kidney, eh? Oh, guess it was supposed to happen.
Coming out of Singapore, they have swapped to an opt-out organ donor system. Oh. The UK are also on that system now, but in Australia, you're opt-in.
Yeah, it's a great decision. I mean, you die, they just take it unless you say you can't have them.
Well, you don't need them. Why do you want to keep a hold of your organs?
Yeah.
I don't think there'll really be anyone out there, but it looks like someone's on the line now. But this is what I'm asking. 1-800-011-666. Do you want to... hang on to your organs. Scott from Parabadu, you want to keep yours, mate? You don't want to opt in?
Nah, mate, anti the donorism. Not happening with me, nah.
Why? Do you like your organs too much, or what's going on?
Yeah, look, I like my organs. I don't think anyone would want my organs. Drink too much piss. No one would want my organs, let's be honest. But, boys, my goal in life, I have one goal in life. It's to live. You know, I get in the car, I put a seatbelt on. You know what I mean? So...
So you're saying that you're going to put your organs are going to go through the ringer? They're unfit for use.
No, what I'm saying is I put 100% of my time into living, into surviving. So here's where the pros and cons. I've got one con that sticks out in my mind that will make me never be pro for this. If I am in a critical condition and I'm on an operating table and the doctors are around me, doctors, nurses, and surgeons trying to save my life, they've got 100% of their time and energy trying to save my life. If they look down at that sheet and it says that I'm an organ donor, that 100% becomes an 80% because there's that 20% that goes, oh, there's kind of an upside to this guy dying as well, you know.
Oh, you think they won't commit?
Mate, I am on board and I am immediately revoking organ donor on my card immediately. That has never made sense. They won't try as hard if they can get use out of you dying. Scotty.
I'm not buying into this.
I am 100%. I'm with you, mate.
Get the tinfoil hats off, guys. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, mate.
Blam, Mitchell and Michael and Mitch joining us on the line now from The Motley Fool. They can help you with your investment ideas and all those big money ideas you might have with the little money that we get here at the bottom rug of society that the government gives us in the budget. It's economist. We've got Scott Phillips on the line. Morning, Scott.
Mitch and Michael, good morning.
Good. Stock Phillips, as I'll now be calling you. Motley Fool is every guy about my age at the pub tells me he listens to what you guys say. So I'm very excited for this because I do not understand the budget.
I'll do my level best. I'm glad people are listening. You may be speaking to the only 2 or 3 listeners we have, but if the pub, that's a good place to start. I'll come and do something in person sometime soon.
Now, big budget news last night in regards to, like, we see the petrol price is going to be, like, slashed by about 22 cents. That's really good. But is there any more we could sort of squeeze out of that? Is there anything to keep in mind?
So here's the this is the good news for individuals. A halving of the fuel excise, saving about 22 cents a litre. That should start to roll out in the next 2 weeks or so, depending on what your local servo's got already in the tanks and when they get the next delivery. But we should start to see that fall, which is positive. If you're on a welfare payment, so think about age pension, concession card holders, carers pension, disability, job seeker, youth allowance, all that stuff, a $250 payment coming in the next couple of weeks, which will be nice. And also, if you're a low or middle income earner, there's a boost of $420. These are one-off numbers for this year's tax return, supposed to be helping with the cost of living and or getting a government re-elected, depending on which side of the fence you want to be on that one. But that's the good news. So $8.6 billion being spent across those three areas. They're the ones that we'll notice in pay packets or in welfare payments or, as you say, at the pump.
And when I get this money, do I go to the casino and put it all on black?
Mate, if you want to, you're welcome to, though I wouldn't suggest it as a responsible financial advisor. I'd have to say, please don't do that. You never know, you might double it, so there's that opportunity. Of course, you might lose the lot. This is the hard part, right? It's supposed to be a cover for the cost of living. So we know that petrol's gone up. We know that fruit and veg, meat, all that stuff is going up. And there's probably no quick end to that. In fact, the budget's expecting inflation to be 4% this year and 3% next year. So that's a decent hike in terms of how much we're paying for stuff. So in theory, maybe that money might be better spent on other things. If you've got the spare readies, maybe try and invest a couple of dollars of that. But at the very least, no, I wouldn't blow it if you have the chance. Everyone likes a night out. Maybe take $50 to the casino, go and watch a movie or something. But I reckon there's probably better places for the rest of it.
Scott, what do you think should be first on your list? Would you be hitting up debts, or depending on how you're managing that with your salary, should you use extra money for investing?
Yes, that's a great question. Look, the honest answer, the best financial answer is pay off high interest debt first. So think about credit cards that are charging you 20%. Maybe you've got a personal loan that's these days, 10, 11, 12%. That stuff is going to be, A, it's tax-free, and B, it's probably going to be more than the average person going to earn trying to invest it, right? So other than putting it all on black and seeing if you can double it, that's a pretty good return if you get it, but we're probably not advised. Pay down your credit card debt first if you've got any. And the other thing is the boring bit. Cut up the credit card while you're there, because if you're only going to pay it off and then put more back on it next month, then you haven't really achieved anything, right? All you've effectively done is delayed the inevitable. But if you've got some stubborn debt hanging around, personal debt in particular, personal loans, pay those down, pay those off if you can. In terms of paying the mortgage down, that's also pretty useful, particularly because rates are going to go up. So you've got an offset account, it can be a great way to park that. I'm an investor by trade. We run an investment business, but if you've got a few dollars left over, by all means, look at investing some of that and invest it for the long term if you can. Don't whack it on crypto or try and double it on some specky miner. As much as I love them, try and find a long term way to build that wealth, because you are hopefully saving for retirement. And slow and steady, unfortunately, boringly, really does still win the race despite everything else you can invest in these days. Keeping it simple, mate. The problem is my job is to eat your vegetables, which is not much fun when everyone wants to be talking about hot chips and go and splurge. I'm like, just eat the broccoli. Boring, but super effective, and the long-term compound returns can be phenomenal.
There you go. Eat your broccoli. That's what Scott says. Check out The Motley Fool. Head online. They've got heaps of great resources and the podcast.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's amazing to listen to a Scott we can trust.
You said that, not me.
If you enjoyed the Mitchell and Michael podcast, remember to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your mates.